To ask you a question tonight. What if Jesus came to church? What if Jesus came to Second Baptist Church and tonight he's sitting right beside you in your pew? Now, not only what is he thinking, but wow, what are you thinking? And where is your focus? And where would it be if Jesus came to Second Baptist Church, 6 o'clock, August 21st, 2016, tonight, and he's sitting right beside you? Have you ever thought about that? Well, let me tell you, the scripture I read says Jesus is at church, and he is at Second Baptist Church tonight, August 21st, 2016, and whether you like it or not, he is sitting right beside you. That just kind of made something go down my spine. So my question is, if we all in agreement with that, amen? What's he see? What's he looking for? What's he notice? As an individual, as a church. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. When Jesus comes to church. So turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 11. And in Mark chapter 11, we see the triumphal entry of Christ. As chapter 11 explains the colt, and he sends them to get the colt, and they untie the colt, and they said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, Jesus said to get the colt," and they let him have it. But I want you to notice verse 11. And it says, "He entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. As he looked around in the temple at everything, it's kind of where I want to focus tonight. He looked at everything. Church, whether you realize it or not, Jesus comes to church. Jesus comes to our church. And he does not only come to church, but he looks around. The Bible says that he looks at everything. Listen, the penetrating eyes of Jesus are scanning what's going on in our church. At Second Baptist Church. We talk all the time about him being in our midst. But do we really believe that? I mean, how many people in our community would be at Second Baptist Church tonight if they really, 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 really believed Jesus was here? I'd have been early, wouldn't you? I would have been early. We would have had a standing room only line out there if people really thought Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be here tonight. Well, he is here. My question is, what does he see? What is it that his penetrating eyes are focusing on? Well, I think as he looks around the church and as he sees, there's some specific areas in which quickly catch his eye. And I think the first thing he sees is the place of worship. He notices the very place of worship. Does he see an open door of admittance? Does he see Second Baptist Church as a welcoming church? Are others welcome in this place? Does he notice that our congregation is welcoming to each other and to those that are coming in? What does he notice about Second Baptist Church, the place of worship? You see, I think one of the first things he sees is an old-fashioned altar. Is there a place that I can come to and be broken? Is there a place that I can come to and pray and communicate and talk to God? Does he find that altar that is accessible? In other words, can we go to that place anytime? You see, you know that I believe in order for us to be more godly, closer to God, I am a big, large believer in prayer. And prayer is not a Sunday thing, and prayer is not a part-time thing. Prayer is an all-the-time thing. And we set these bottles up here with the prayer request in them. And that doesn't have to just be a Sunday thing either. That can be a lunchtime thing. That could be a run by here and pray thing. You see, it has to be a priority in our life. Not just something we do. We want it to be a priority. So I believe in Jesus' eyes, this altar, the old-fashioned altar, is one of the most important things in the place of worship. You notice in the Old Testament how many times altars were built. It's important to God. It's important to God for that place that can be accessed, that we can approach broken. And then I think he notices how often is it used. I think he notices that. As he sits here among us, he notices how often is that altar used. And then I think he sees an ongoing adoration. In all that we do, are we bringing glory to God? Think of all the things Jonathan mentioned that we do. He said, boy, we're busy. That's what I got out of it. There's a lot going on. But do all of those things, is the purpose to bring glory to God? Is there an ongoing adoration for everything that we do? Is every service about Him? Is every program about Him? Is every meeting about Him? Is every song we sing to glorify who He is? You see, we need to make sure that we're inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to church. And we invite Him by adoring Him, by worshiping Him, by having our eyes set on Him, allowing Him to be Lord. So let's meet Him at the altar. Let's adore Him from our heart. Unless our church will become dry and cold and void of the Holy Spirit. So I believe the first thing he sees is the place of worship. He looks around and sees the place. The second thing I think that he sees is the people who worship. That's you and me. You know, you think, well, you're the worship and I'm the preacher. But listen, I'm here to worship too. That's why I'm here. We're worshiping together. So I believe he looks at the people that worship. He looks. What does he look for? Well, he looks at our love that we've talked so much about in a congregation. He looks at how we love each other. He looks at our love for each other. Does he see what the Bible calls brotherly love? Does he gauge that? Does he see that? Does he see the love of Christ in the church? Does he see the fellowship of Christ in the church? I believe he looks at our love for Him. How do we show that we love Him? He looks at our real motivation for being at church. What's our real motive for being here tonight? Is it to glorify God? Is it so I can say something at a business meeting? Is it because my wife drugged me here? What is my motivation for being here? And God penetrates us. He looks at our heart and He says, Billy, why are you here tonight? Why are you here? Why did you come this morning? You see, God, Jesus, sitting in our church, looks at the people in our church. He also looks at our lives. He looks at our lives as seen in our character. He looks at our lives as seen in our witness. You see, I think He searches our church's witness and how we portray Christ in our lives. He sees that. He looks at our lives and He looks at the works in our lives. I told you a couple weeks ago that those that tell you that works don't save you, that's not true, right? It's just not your works. It's Jesus' works. But faith without what? Works is what? It's dead. So church, He's looking at our works. He wants to see our works. He looks at our beliefs. He looks at our commitment. He looks at our beliefs in the Word of God. He notices our belief in the Word. Are we following God's Word at every juncture, at every disagreement, at everything that happens in our church? Are we following the Word of God? Can we as people remove our personal agenda? Can we as people remove ourselves and follow God? That's what He wants to know. That's what He's looking at. He notices our belief in His Word, and are we following God's Word? You see, I think He also looks at our belief to the work of God. In other words, are we doers of the Word? Are my people doing what the Word of God asks them to do? I've been to many churches that are talkers. I've been to many churches that can have a great program. I've been to many churches that are great planners. But He is looking for a church that carries out His work. He is looking for a church that the Bible says be a doer of the Word. He is looking for Christians that are doers of the Word. Well, what does that mean? Well, as a church, that means that we're always looking. We're always searching for a way to do something better. Aren't we in life? Isn't that what we do? We go to work every day trying to find a better way, find a smarter way, find a more intriguing way. And see, our goal at the church is to take the Word of Jesus Christ outside of these walls. Amen? That's our duty. That's our calling. So how do we do that? How do we do that and so where we can draw people into these four walls? So sometimes it takes hard decisions. Sometimes we have to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, okay, what we're doing, we need to tweak. What we're not doing, we need to do. And that makes people uncomfortable because change is not easy. But we need to be focusing in on Second Baptist Church. What is it that we need to do in Sunday school? What is it that we could do with our website? What is it that we could do to enhance what Jesus is calling us to do? To make it better. You know, whether we like it or not, the world outside is changing. And folks, we're not going to reach the world in 2016 with the methodology of 1950. Now take what I just said. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I wasn't born in the 50s. But what I do understand is churches like to do the same thing over and over and over and over. The world's changing. We better find a way to get the Word of Jesus Christ in 2016. We better find a way to become culturally relevant. Now, that doesn't mean water down the gospel. That's not what I mean. That doesn't mean be politically correct. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is find a way to get the word of Christ to a 2016 crowd. How do we do that? I think Jesus, as he sits here tonight, that's some of the things that he's seeing. Are we progressing? You see, my Bible says that God is a creator. In Genesis, it starts that way. It says God created, right? What does that tell me about God? That means he changes. He's a changer. He's something new. He likes something new. The Bible talks of a new song. It talks of a new wineskin. It talks of new all the way through. And I'm not saying we need an overhaul. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we ought to always need to be in prayer about what God would use in our church to reach the people out there. Whatever that is. It could be of any of those things. He also looks at our behavior. That's scary to me. He looks at our behavior as seen in our conduct. In other words, do we commend the gospel daily? Do we live according to the principles of the Word of God? Does our behavior draw people to Second Baptist Church or to Christ? Or does our behavior cause others to be critical of who we are and what we stand for because of our conduct? What qualities does Jesus see in you sitting there tonight? What qualities would he see in Second Baptist Church? And then lastly, and I couldn't leave this one out, the last thing I think he sees is the preacher. Well, not the last thing, but one of the three things he sees is the preacher or the pastor or the leader of the church. I think he sees me and he sees Jonathan and he sees Al Ray when he comes in, and he says those men are the leaders of Second Baptist Church. And what is it that he sees? Well, I want you to know, I believe that he looks at the man, not at what the preacher proclaims, but instead at what the preacher practices. It's very simple to stand up here and talk to you, but it's the practice. It's where the heart is. That doesn't mean he's perfect. That doesn't mean these men are perfect, but they're always striving to be in the will of God. That's what he wants to see. Are the leaders of this church striving, always communicating with God, always seeking guidance to shepherd the church? You see, Jesus did not practice what he preached. He preached what he practiced. There's a difference. We want to be men that preach what we practice. You see, I believe here tonight Jesus looks at the ministry. He wants to know, is the ministry explanatory? Is it enlightening? Is it informative? Is it instructive? Is the ministry interpretive? Is the ministry justifying? Is it illustrative? Is it declarative? Is it demonstrative? Is the ministry for all people at all times? Is the ministry equipping? In other words, are we feeding for spiritual growth? Are we feeding the saints? Are we growing in maturity? Are we growing spiritually? Is the ministry evangelistic? Am I preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ through salvation? Is the preacher the leading force, or the staff the leading force in outreach, in visitation to our community, in witnessing, in sharing the Word of God? Are these men the leading force in teaching and praying for this church? I believe he also looks at the message. And he wants to know, is this a saving message? Am I preaching the Word of God in the redemption of Christ? Is that word being carried out throughout this place by all of the men of leadership? Is it sanctifying message? Is it a sure message? But is it the Savior's message? Are we, and I say we, I'm talking about these guys, Are we leading the Lord's church in and out of the pulpit? In and out of the church? Is the message being conveyed one that Jesus proclaims to the world? You say, well, what does it mean to be a man of God? What does that mean? Well, I am proof that any one of you in here, anybody in the world, can stand up and talk. Because this was not my real calling, I didn't think. When I was younger, I was kind of scared of it. Because I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I've told you that a bunch, and I mean it. I'm down on this level. But I'm proof that God can do anything He wants to do with any of us. Anytime and any place, He can do it. So what does it mean to be a man of God? Well, let us answer that question by defining a man's practice, by directing his ministry in a biblical fashion, by delivering the message of the gospel of grace. And that man and the ministry and the message, does that please the continuing look of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that please Him? Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, Jesus is here tonight. And He's sitting right next to us. And He's seeing all of these different things. His penetrating eyes are looking at the very heart and soul of our church. He's looking in the place of worship. He's looking at the people that worship. And He's looking at the preachers, the pastors who lead in worship. And what does He see? And what would be our heartfelt response? I have a couple of verses I want to share with you that in the book of Revelation that were shared with the church. In Revelation chapter 2, I think I have. Do I have that on the screen? Yeah. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. This is to the church of Ephesus. And the Bible says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What's the message in that verse? Come and what? Well, let's go to the next one then. Revelation 2 and 16 is to the church of Smyrna. It says, repent therefore, and otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Revelation 3 and 3, next chapter, is to the church at Sardis. Remember therefore what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Are you seeing the theme of what He's saying to these churches? What is He saying? Yeah, He's saying repent, isn't He? That's one of those hard words, remember we talked about this morning? That's not easy. But when you look through the New Testament on what God is saying to all of those churches, it always comes back to repent. It always does. It always comes back to prayer. It always comes back to church. Put the first thing first. What is the first thing? Put it first. Revelation 3 and 19. Those who I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and what? Repent. To all four churches, the word that consistent is the word repent. It's the theme of the verses. And in the era in which we live, the word repent to so many is a dirty word. It's almost a four-letter word in our society. It's dirty. We don't enjoy admitting our faults. That's hard. But if we'll learn how to repent, both in our personal life and in the life of the church, then God, listen, God will bless us. If we don't repent, we don't receive the full blessing of God. That's not Billy talk. That's Scripture. So we have to become a repenting church, a repenting member, a repenting husband, a repenting pastor, a repenting leader of the church. We have to repent and turn to God. And when we do that, God is going to pour more blessings on Second Baptist Church than we could fathom. As he sees his people approach the altar of repentance. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of ready to see those blessings. I don't know about you, but it's intriguing to me what God can do at Second Baptist Church. That's intriguing to me. You know, the old question I use in football all the time, why not us? Why won't God use us? But it all starts right down here. So I want to encourage you tonight, when you walk in this place for worship or when you walk in this place, I want you to remember that Christ is here. And we thank Him all the time for being in our midst, but that's almost just something we say, and we really don't comprehend that He's sitting right beside Karen and right beside the Williams, right there. Of the thoughts and the things that He sees. Let's be that church that invites Him to worship with our praise and adoration. That invites Him to worship because we want Him here. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the Scripture that reminds us to continue to turn back and continue to repent, that we must remain a church on our knees, not just on Sunday, Lord, but in everyday life. Father, I pray that You would use the Word tonight to penetrate our heart, to let us understand that You are here. There are things that You see in this place. And Father, our prayer would be that they would be to Your liking. They would be scriptural. And that everything we do is to bring glory and adoration to You. Father, we want to thank You tonight for being here. Thank You for being in this place. And Father, my cry tonight is why not Second Baptist Church? Father, my prayer is to use us. Use us, Lord, so that You may be glorified. Not for Second Baptist Church, but for You. So that You may be glorified. And Father, through all of that, let us remember to look up and to continually say, thank You, Lord, for using us. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.